The next kina is kina Yud Zayin. If you have the Koran, page 375. And this is one of the most shocking and graphic of all of the kinos that we read on Tisha B'Av. It has stiff competition, so to be the most graphic on Tisha B'Av is saying something. Im tochalna nashim piryam olalai tipuchim olalai li. If mothers will eat their own children, woe is to me. Im tavashelna rachmanios yaldehen. If the compassionate ones, if the mothers will cook their own children, olalai li. And this is also a kina written by Rabbi Elazar HaKalir. It's based on a pasuk which we read last night in Perek Beis of Megillas Eicha. And it describes specifically the absolute horrors of the time of the siege of Yerushalayim and then the subsequent pillaging of that city. Like so many of the kinos, it's arranged alphabetically, and each one of the lines, as I mentioned, is completed with the words Olalai Li from Iyov. The two themes which are struck in those opening words are one, that of hunger, the desperation that can come from someone who is hungry, as we have also read, right, of all of the deaths, Misas Cherev, to be killed by the spear or the sword is far kinder to die a death of starvation. So the unbelievable desperation of someone who is starving, even to cannibalize, as is described here, what starvation will do to a person is something that is graphically alluded to and described here in the Skina. But perhaps more powerful and more shocking than that is, of course, the theme of mothers, that the Kina is describing and emphasizing clearly. It wasn't just anyone who was eating, cooking these dead children, Rahman al-Islan, but it was their mothers. And this is not just a graphic image, but clearly intended, and I think successfully so, at being a shocking, horrific, but shocking, really, I'd say is the right word, image and reality to contemplate. After all, could a mother do this to her own children? Could any mother, let alone a Yiddish mama, a Jewish mother, instead of es mein kind, it's es my kind, right? Instead of that proverbial and popular encouragement to her children, eat, eat my child, she is eating her child, es my kind. It's just in place of the rachmaniyot, clearly being said sarcastically here in the kina, the compassion and the love a Jewish mother is supposed to exhibit. Evidently, at least for some in the time of Churban, even that was not safe from the devastation that the siege and eventual Churban and hunger brought. I'd like to perhaps greater appreciate even the reality described by this kina by contrasting it with an incredible story of maternal love that took place in the Holocaust. There is a book that came out a few years ago called Heroic Children. It was a book that's written by Henoch Teller based on, as far as I understand, his original research and interviews with children who survived the Holocaust, something that was obviously, and for obvious reasons, not a very, very common phenomenon. Even when the Nazis or other collaborators didn't kill the children, the circumstances were so difficult and so devastating with hunger and disease that it was very, very rare for a child to be able to survive that. And in this beautiful work, Rabbi Teller tracks down, if I remember correctly, I think it's 8, something like that, not a huge number, of children who survived, and he does in-depth research and interviews with they, if they are still alive, and whichever family members are still alive, And he reconstructs in a very beautiful narrative, in his typical way, the story of these children. So I'd like to share with you the highlights a little bit of a chapter called Non-Existence, which is the story of a young girl who was born Dolly Hirsch. And in fact, on her father's side, she is a descendant of none other than, I think, a great-great-niece, if I'm not mistaken, something like that, if I get the generations right. But it's her father, who I think was a great-great-nephew, so maybe she's a great-great-great-niece. Anyway, she's a descendant on her father's side from the Hirsch family. And her father, Reb Aryeh Hirsch, and her mother, I'm not sure if she went by Rachel or Rachel, were both very, very educated and very, very talented. And I won't read the whole chapter, but incredible story in the beginning when they were in the various ghettos with their little daughter, Dolly, and how easily could have died numerous times in the ghetto. But nevertheless, as the book writes, with extraordinary courage, exemplified by so many Jewish mothers during those times, Rachel Hirsch decided there and then that she would risk her life to feed her child. And this is the theme of the last half of the chapter, which I want to read just some brief highlights for you, all about the incredible lengths that her mother, Rachel, went to save what was, I think at the time then, baby 3-year-old Dolly. Actually, at the beginning when they were in the ghetto, she wasn't even 3. But finally, again, we don't have time to get into the details of the story, but they had various stops along the way, in particular given some of the talents that her father had, but eventually, all the various diversions were used up, and eventually they too were sent, I believe it says October 1944, they were sent to Auschwitz. Father, mother, little girl, and if I remember correctly, I believe the grandmother as well. Dolly, it says here, was nearly 3 years old, but she stood still barely bigger than an infant due to the years of the starvation and lack of proper food and vitamins, etc. She was so small, it was easy to miss. And yet, of course, the fear was terrible. While her mother was still clothed, she was able to hide Dolly inside her clothing without anyone noticing because she was so small. The story, the chapter goes on to describe incredibly even how during the initial showering, when she had to undress, still was able to hide her daughter. And then eventually she realizes once she's sent into the barracks with her little baby that she's still hiding, she realizes she needs to do something in order to save her daughter, because it's not going to last long here. There were times and places in the Holocaust kingdom, writes Rabbi Teller, in which Jewish mothers were forced to do the unthinkable and to do the impossible. And the last part of the chapter goes on to describe an incredible act of love, dedication, and ingenuity. Not the first, but the most remarkable, that saved Dolly's life. What happened? The mom, Rachel, noticed that outside her barracks was a small trash bin, I guess you could call it. A box of refuse, in which everything from human waste to human flesh was dumped in. Rachel concluded that this putrid bin in the darkest corner of the earth would become her daughter's new home. And sure enough, one day when no one was looking, she carried her teeny, teeny little 3-year-old daughter and she placed her in the garbage bin where she would hide her until the end of the war. What does a mother say before hiding her little one in the garbage? She held Dolly and rocked her close and spoke as if as an adult. I am not abandoning you, my precious baby. But if I do not work, they will murder me. And I must live because I want you to live. She whispered so urgently. She told Dolly she loved her and that someday she'd make it all up to her. And that Every day, with God's help, she'll bring her morsels of food to sustain her. Above all, she said to Dali that she must wait patiently for those nighttime visits and not cry or utter a single sound. Not only did Rachel say it, but that's what Dali did. She survived for a number of months in a garbage can without saying a word. And as often as possible, not every day, but as often as possible, her mother would sneak out of the barracks at night to share whatever little food she had with her daughter, Dali. No evil that the Germans perpetrated, not the subhuman conditions of the camp, not the supposed bromide-laced food, nothing could destroy Rachel's fierce maternal instinct. Despite being in the unsanitary and disgusting conditions in this trash bin, despite the sub-zero weather, on love of her mother, Dali survived for 4 months. The story doesn't end there. When they were actually liberated, before Dali could get to the garbage can, the Allies had taken that with all the other unsanitary things to a massive grave in which they were going to bury it all in order to try to bring some healthy measure back to sanitize the camp. Dali was freaking out, Rachel freaking out, crying. She had done so much in the ghetto and then these last 4 months in Auschwitz to save her daughter, and now she can't find her. Finally, a Jewish chaplain was there who could understand her ranting and her crying. And when she tried to describe it, she was looking for her daughter. The Jewish chaplain, who understood her Yiddish, was absolutely convinced that she was delirious. How could there possibly be a three-year-old child in Auschwitz? And he tried patronizingly, but sincerely, to calm her. Say, no, she died a long time ago. You're just remembering. And again, the mom screaming until finally they believed her. And they quickly ran to the Allied forces who were disposing of all of the refuse. And luckily, they were able to get there just in time before they closed and filled it up with dirt. And sure enough, in that garbage heap, Rachel found Dali. Yet again and again and again, her love saves Dali's life. What an incredible, incredible story. Amidst the tangle of every conceivable form of garbage, human and otherwise, they found Dali Hirsch, discarded and bleeding, skeletal and barely alive. She was a miracle, risen from the ashes. She had heart anomalies, tuberculosis, typhus, dysentery, and many, many other ailments. And even after the war, she needed months of hospitalization with her mother being there right by her side. Eventually, the family was able to emigrate through a relative to Mexico. And tragically, when they got to Mexico shortly thereafter, the mom, Rachel, she died. But her uncles, who lived in Mexico, lovingly raised her, and they shared the whole story with her, and she and their other relatives, eventually with Rabbi Teller, which is how we have this incredible story in the book. Because of everything that happened to her, Dali was never able to have children of her own. But she married a nice Jewish man from Mexico, they adopted two children, and she raised a Jewish family. And all of this was because of the heroic and loving commitment of her mother. Das is a Yiddish mama. That's what a Jewish mother is. Fiercely loving, fiercely protective. And with that and so many other stories like it, as in many cases, thankfully, less extreme and less dramatic, that we are all familiar with. How can we understand this? Im tochalna nashim piryam, im tevashelna rachmanios yaldehen. It is simply incomprehensible. We cannot understand it. But we also don't hide from it. And it's a reality that we confront. And of course, we cry over and we lament on Tisha B'Av and with this Kina.